thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that your priorities are for us. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll just prepare our hearts for your message to us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us all things. And we don't always appreciate what you've given to us and what we've got going for us. But we just pray, Lord, tonight that you'll open up our eyes and our understanding. And that you'll give us the strength that we so desperately need at times. And we ask it in your name. Amen. If you want a title, Elijah. I've been reading a lot about Elijah recently. And sometimes when you read about him, you find him very encouraging. And at other times you read about him and you're thinking, come on, you've just seen all these marvellous things. And now you're cowering in a corner and you're whinging and moaning and isn't life sad and, oh, poor me, poor me. And you're thinking, come on, you're supposed to be one of these great patriarchs that we look up to get our encouragement and our blessings. I'm going to really only read from 1 Kings tonight. I may quote other scriptures, but I might not tell you where they are. That's what you call homework. So 1 Kings chapter 19, that's 1 Kings chapter 19, and starting at verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah had just had the greatest period of time. Yeah. He had challenged the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal had danced round their altar, calling on their gods to provide fire, and they'd been cutting themselves and you're screaming for him all day long and nothing happened to their altar. No fire came. So Elijah, being very sympathetic, saying, maybe he's gone on a journey. Maybe he's gone for a long walk. Maybe you need to shout a bit louder. So the prophets of Baal shouted a bit louder, cut themselves a bit deeper, made a big fuss. Nothing happened. Well, maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe that's why he's not answering you, because nobody wants to answer you when they're in there, do they? So they all carried on, and it got to about the time when the evening sacrifice should have come. And Elijah more or less says, your turn's over. It's my turn now. And he was going to call on God for fire. Now, you know that fire and water don't mix. Because the minute the fire touches the water, the fire is gone. We don't use water to make fire. And so, Elijah gets people to chuck about 12 massive buckets full of water on his altar. And he calls on God. And God answered by fire. Wow. Can you imagine it? If I'd got a great big altar here and I'd just thrown buckets of water on it and said, if God's God, he's going to answer by fire, and this great big altar suddenly bursts into flames, you'd be like, wow, wow, just look at that. Wow, how did she do it? She didn't do anything. He did it. God is a consuming fire. And there's a caution to all these people out in the world. Don't mess with fire. No. You play with fire, you get burned. And we've all been burned at some time in our lives.
Yeah.
But it were a good burn, weren't it? Because the only thing that God burns in our lives is the sin.
It
doesn't burn us physically.
No.
He burns the rubbish up and gets rid of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants to do to everybody. So Elijah had this great time. And he defeated the prophets of Baal, but it had upset Jezebel. Now, Ahab, who was Jezebel's husband, was also not very happy with Elijah because Elijah had proclaimed a drought on the land and there'd not been rain for ages. And people were getting thirsty and there was dust everywhere. And Elijah kept prodding Ahab, you know, when are you going to get right? And eventually, Elijah says to Ahab, you need to run now. I'm gonna pray and God's gonna answer and he's gonna send the rain. And Ahab's like, yeah, right, of course he is. But nevertheless, Ahab left. And Elijah sends his servant to have a look, to see what he can see, and came back 6 or 7 times and saw nothing. And then finally he came back and he said, I see a cloud just about the size of a man's hand. Elijah says, right, better run then. It's going to chuck it down. Now, when it's been really bad weather and it's been dry and nothing's been happening for a long time and somebody suddenly says it's going to flood today, it's like, yeah, right, of course it is. But God was behind Elijah. And when the man of God proclaims, what he proclaims come to pass. And the rains came. So you think, wow, didn't Elijah do well? Yeah, didn't God? Another thing that happened was that he'd also been on his travels and he'd met the widow at Zarephath.
Yeah.
And she was preparing her last meal. Going to make this bread with this bit of flour and this bit of oil. Me and my son then. We're going to die because we've got no more food. And Elijah says, well, can you just make me a cake first? Now, if you're starving and you've got nothing and somebody says, well, just make me one first. It's like, excuse me, I said, this is the last I've got. But when you're ministering to God, you reap what you sow. And if you're prepared to give, so is God.
Amen.
If she'd have held back and said, no, I'm not making you a cake, this is for me and my son, they would have enjoyed the last meal. And that would have been the last meal. But no, she had a different heart. So she shared it. We also read about how Elijah laid himself on the another widow's son who was actually dead. And he came and he laid himself on him, mouth to mouth, nose to nose, and all the rest of it. Spoke life into him, and the boy was raised up. You think, wow, Elijah, what a mighty man. And yet in verse 4 here, we've just read that after Jezebel had opened a big mouth, Elijah prayed that he might die. He says, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's. Ever been there? Have you ever got so tired and so exhausted that you thought, I've just had enough. I just want it all over. Just take me. I know I've been ill on and off for the last 10 years and there have been times in that period when I've been so ill and it's been like, you know, God, I'm just fed up of fighting this. I'm fed up of standing. If it's not going to get better, just take me out. I've just had enough. And God says, no. He says, I can bring you through this.
Amen.
I can strengthen you. I am your healer. And you look at me today. And those of you that's known me for a long period of time know over the last 10 years, there's been illness after illness and problem after problem. And yet today, there's hardly a problem left.
Amen.
In fact, at the moment, I'm really annoying the doctor.
Amen.
Because there are 3 pills I've not been taking. And they keep telling me how wonderfully well that these pills are working. And I've not told them yet that I've not actually taken them. They're in for a surprise tomorrow. That's if I tell them tomorrow. I'm not sure when I'm going to tell them. But I do know that I'm getting quite a collection of some pills. Because if I tell them, they'll stop prescribing them. So I've got to just bide my time a little. But I believe that God's healed every single one of us.
Amen.
The problem is, we're healed, but the body's not taking any notice of us. Because it's so easy to slip into the confession of what's wrong with you. And the more you tell people what's wrong with you, that's what's wrong with you. Start and confess that you've got this symptom, but that's not the truth. The truth is I'm healed. And the truth is, I am healed. Truth is, I don't need these pills. And in one case, I can prove it. Because I take my blood pressure every day. And if my blood pressure was high, I'd know about it. And the readings are constantly low. And yet this time last year, they just seem to be rising and rising and rising. And now some days I can't take my pill for the simple reason it's already quite low. You don't take a blood pressure pill when your reading's 120 over 58, do you? And so there comes a point when you have to exercise a bit of common sense and remember, as we've said before, doctors are practitioners. They're only practicing. Well, you're not practicing on me because I'm listening to what God's saying. Now, to get back to Elijah, when he'd done all these things, and it is also a warning to us, after your greatest successes in God,
Yeah. You
are at your greatest risk. You are at risk of getting depressed.
Yeah.
And a lot of times after you've had a period of success, you get tired and you get exhausted. Because although what you've been doing for God has been great and it's been glorious, during that time, because we're human, sometimes we take liberties and we don't sleep right, we don't exercise right, we don't eat right. We go on in the glory of God and God gives us the strength and we don't necessarily always need to be eating, sleeping and exercising right, but it's a good idea if you do. Because sometimes when once the situation that we've been involved with for God is over, we carry on living as if we were still in that great success. But your physical body needs time to recover. And you have to recover. You have to take the time. You have to take the time to rest. You have to take the time to build yourself up and to get ready for the next effort that you're going to do for God. Because if you're worn out and you're tired, your efforts for God are not going to be that great. Because we need to start from a standpoint of strength. We don't need to think everything's, also so weak. And at sometimes, like with Elijah, okay? So we think at times when once we've done something and it's been a good time and God's blessed us and strengthened us and encouraged us, we've had a great victory. Sometimes we think it's all over. We've done what we needed to do. But God's not finished.
Amen.
That's only round one. Or round two. Or round 36. And you've still got to keep going.
Amen.
It's not over until you are over.
Amen.
It goes on all your life. But God's not finished. And he promises that he will renew our strength.
Amen.
He will renew our strength. It's his desire to renew our strength. He doesn't want us weak and sickly. He wants us strong and moving forward. Because in his strength, we can do all things.
Amen.
Well, what things can we do? All things. Mm-hmm. So, well, there are some things that I can't do. You see, I can't do this and that. I can't play the guitar. If you weren't called to play the guitar, does it really matter? Can you play something else? Well, I can't sing. You're told to make a joyful noise. Pardon? I can play my flute, play a keyboard as well if I wanted to. But the thing is, there are some things that we don't have to do. But there are some things that we all have to do. And one of the things that we all have to do is to get into the Word of God. Because if you're not in the Word of God, you're not getting fed, you're not getting strengthened, you're not getting encouraged, you're not feeding your spirit, you're not getting what you need to live your life.
Amen.
And if you're having a nice, easy day where you're not really doing anything, you're just sort of chilling, you still need to get fed. None of you got up this morning and decided you weren't going to have your breakfast, or you weren't going to have a cup of tea, or you weren't going to have a cup of coffee, and you weren't going to have lunch, and you've been all day today and you've not eaten a thing. There's nobody in here that's done that, unless you're having a fasting day. Because we all know that one of the rules of being alive is that you need to eat. Our body needs food to be strong, to feed itself spiritually. And in the same manner, your physical body needs feeding, your spiritual body needs feeding. And if you don't get into the Word, don't be surprised if your spirit's feeling weak and you're not moving forward in strength. You're not going to be strong in the Lord if you don't get in the Word.
Amen.
It also says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesse Duplantis, I believe it is. One of the messages that he used to preach was, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And it's been proved that a merry heart does good like medicine. It has been proved scientifically. I'm not sure now whether this bloke was listening to Laurel and Hardy or watching some other sort of videos, but a man had been diagnosed with cancer. He weren't a Christian. Thought, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die happy. So he got all these comedy things on. And he watched these comedies for days and days and days and laughed and laughed and laughed and got healed.
Yeah.
A merry heart doeth good like medicine. If you've got a sad heart,
yeah,
you need to do something about it.
Inviting,
you are actually putting yourself at risk. So God provided in all these situations for Elijah. But Elijah stopped looking at what had happened, and all he could see was Jezebel. All he could see was a problem. He couldn't see the victories that he'd just achieved. All he could see was Jezebel. And so he ran away. And then sometimes when tart like hers chasing after you, that's the best thing to do, run away. Nobody wants to be near somebody like that. And sometimes it's good to get away from your enemies. You don't need to start and stay there and argue with them. Leave them to God to sort out. The Bible also, in this current climate, does not say, seek ye first the social security, and they will meet all your needs according to the riches of the taxpayer. That is not what it says. Too many people today are looking to the government to meet their needs. And the government are really not meeting your needs. The government are taking your money and giving it to somebody else. And if you're a recipient of the government's money, that money has come from another member of society. The government is looked at today for the answer to everybody's problems. Well, if the government had put more finance into this, if the government would do this, if the government would do that, if the government, no. God's our supplier. And we have been lied to for years and years and years, so that now everybody, every time there's a problem, it's the government. And although at the moment it's the Conservative government, if it was the Labour government, the Lib Dems or whoever else was in power, it would still be the government that people would be looking to. And the government do not have the answer. The government don't even have the answer for their own individual parties. The government can't even obey their own rules. But we live in a better kingdom.
Amen.
Our kingdom, we might live in this world, we might live in this country, but it's not our kingdom.
No.
We don't get our needs met by this kingdom.
No.
Yeah, some of us are getting pensions because we've paid into the club for many years, and there may be some of you on benefits. I do not know, and I don't want to know. It's none of my business. But what we all need to know is that everything that we get is by the grace of God. Irrespective of where the supply comes from. God promises to meet all our needs. And we've got all that we need. We just need to know how to make use of it and how to get into it. We're not looking to anyone other than God for our help. I'm going to embarrass somebody now. A few weeks ago, I was in the village and I was hobbling along. As you know, I've not had a good foot for a while. Look at this. But I was hobbling along, hardly walking, thinking to myself, oh Lord, that grass, I'm going to have to do something about that grass. So I thought, when I get home, I'm going to get the lawnmower out. And even if I only do two or three strips, it's two or three strips. A couple of minutes later, Ellen. Look across the road, my friend Mick. So we had a little natter, and to cut a long story short, before I knew where I was, Mick was at my house cutting the grass.
Amen.
God saw a need. I've never seen Mick in the village before, and I've lived in the village over 20 years. I've never bumped into him before, have I? Never bumped into him. God heard what I had to say, and he says, I know, just the man.
Yeah.
And God will set you up sometimes to help other people. But you've also got to be prepared to help yourselves. To go back to Elijah, in verses 5 to 10 in 1 Kings 19, if you're still there, starting at verse 5, then as he lay, this is Elijah, as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Poor me, there's only me left. What a hard time. It's so hard to be a Christian. There's only me. Poor little lonely me. There's only me. He was tired. He needed a rest. God fed him, watered him, and that food kept him going for 40 days and 40 nights. Wow, that was some decent snap, weren't it? He needed some strength. He needed a good sleep, which he got, and he needed some food and some drink. But Elijah was still worried that there was only him left. Now, loneliness can be a killer. So there's a difference then between being alone and being lonely. My next door neighbour, even though she lives with a daughter, when her daughter's at work, she's lonely. She doesn't like being alone. I can tell you that by the number of times she comes to my door. I, on the other hand, I quite like being on my own. I've been on my own for years. I'm used to it and I can manage it quite well, thank you very much. But there's a difference. I might be in the house on my own, but I'm not lonely. Because I've got God.
Amen.
I've always got somebody to talk to. And it's the same for all of us. There's not one of us needs to be lonely. Our situations might change, but we're never, ever alone. We've always got God. And the thing is, when we are feeling alone and neglected and depressed, and when these situations come to us, those are the times that you feel like quitting, giving it up, I've had enough. I'm just not doing this anymore. I'm so fed up to the back teeth of this. And we get frustrated and tired and we talk out of our frustrations, not our faith. And we need to guard what we say. If we go back here into verse 11, then Elijah said, then God said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passed by and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. How many times do we expect God to shout and scream and tell us, this is what you need to be doing, this is the way forward? You need to be listening. But we don't listen with the ears, we listen with the ears of your heart. And you say, ha, 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 my heart doesn't have ears. Really? Your heart talks to you more than you think. So when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Poor Elijah. But we've all been there.